You may be seated. There, we had one lady in our congregation that was almost rejoicing too much, because that's one of her favorite hymns. So I don't know if you saw Patsy, but she had a big grin on her face. If the children are being excused for junior church and junior high church, and actually, it's been several months now. I had decided I was going to start a series about our various liberties and what is involved, because liberty, as I explained to the congregation then, and I'll explain it one more time, liberty is the freedom to do what's right. That's liberty. Freedom is to do whatever you want, regardless whether it's right or wrong. We live in a land where we were given liberty. Liberty comes from God. Government cannot give liberty. God gives liberty. Freedom, that's different. So we were looking at, and we're going to look at again this morning, a form of liberty. Well, the first thing we looked at was spiritual liberty. This nation was founded in order that people might have spiritual liberty, to be able to worship however their conscience told them they were to do that, right or wrong. But it was based upon God's word, the Bible. That's where liberty comes from. Liberty comes from God. It does not come from government. And so this morning, we're going to look at religious liberty. Now the word religious in the New Testament usually has a bad connotation with it. That's not something. People can be religious, but it doesn't mean they know anything about God. It also does not mean that they know Jesus Christ as Savior. What we do here is we may meet here to do something religious, but we come and meet here to worship God. We have a personal relationship with God, and we want you to have a personal relationship with God. That means that you live with Him 24/7. And He is a part of your life. He is a basis for why you live and what you do. So this morning we're going to look at religious liberty, but it's not going to be bad, okay? We're going to start off with a scripture from the Old Testament. The scripture from the Old Testament is Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Father, as we look into your word this morning, as we examine this thing, religious liberty, may your Holy Spirit have free reign in each heart. May we understand what part you have played in the life that we have enjoyed. Help us now, Father, to worship Thee, to obey Thee, and to please Thee. And we will praise Thee for all that You do with the power of Your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we looked at spiritual liberty, and that is in our heart and in our soul. It cannot be taken away from us. Religious liberty, on the other hand, can be taken away, and the government is making the best effort it can to remove that from us right this moment. We have enemies because they belong to the Lord, they belong to the devil. And those enemies do not want us worshiping God, because as long as we worship God, we know the truth. We do the truth, and we do His will. And And those are all foreign to the present government that we have. So, religious liberty is the fulfilling of God's purpose through the implementation of our spiritual liberty.
Having a problem with this mic. We looked at the difference between freedom and liberty. Liberty is being able to do what is right. Freedom is being able to do whatever we want, no matter how it affects other people. And liberty addresses the needs of other people. Spiritual liberty has an eternal aspect to it. And there will be a time when all believers live with total spiritual liberty. Religious liberty, on the other hand, can be suppressed by those who are the enemies of God. It appears that we're entering a time, all of us together, when religious liberty is going to be suppressed by those who are evil and those who desire to frustrate the purposes of God. As we begin our study this morning of religious liberty, we want to address the source of the same. Where does religious liberty come from? As in all things, it comes from God. God is the primary source of all liberties. There is a secondary source that needs to be considered. The Apostle Paul faced a similar situation in his lifetime. Over 2,000 years ago, he wrote about it in his epistle to the Romans. If you will, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood in order that you and I could have liberty from sin, that we might be free of sin, and that sin might not have any more hold upon us. But he did not redeem our bodies. Our bodies are still human bodies, still a part of the creation, still living here on earth, and our bodies have appetites and desires. And those bodies are not liberated by the shed blood of Christ. There is a day coming when we will have different bodies. But for right now, we have to put up with a body that has a sin nature. You may not want to admit it, but this body that you and I live in likes sin. And it may even have pet sins. Things that we really like to do, things we don't like to do, that we don't do. But there is a day coming when God has promised that this body in which we live will be redeemed and set at liberty. And that day will be when Jesus Christ comes back for his church. And he takes the church out of this world. And we go to live with him. We will experience then true liberty. We will have new bodies. bodies that are not prone to disease, bodies that are not prone to anger and emotions that are not glorifying to God. Now, there are times, and that's why we meet together here as brothers and sisters in Christ, because we are wanting to support one another. We're wanting to uphold one another. We're wanting to encourage one another. We're wanting to make each other's lives more successful for God, more joyful, more filled with blessing. And so we meet here in order that we might learn what God's word says about some of these things. Now, we have motivating emotions within us that lead towards sin. But one day, God will redeem our bodies and we will have perfect bodies. They will no longer have a sin nature. Somewhere, for most of us, along the way, our souls were saved by grace, the grace of God. Our bodies still have a sin problem because of our sin nature. You may not want to admit it, but you have one. We all do. Religious liberty has nothing to do with our sin. It has to do with other people restricting us from pursuing what we believe God wants us to do with our lives. There's a passage in the 119th Psalm that deals with the actual practice of religious liberty. Psalm 119, 41 through 48. Let me read that for you. Psalm 119, 41 through 48. Let thy mercies come also to me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. And for most of us, we have experienced that. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up to thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. We need to pray that we may never be afraid or ashamed to own God's truth and ways before man. Let me say that again. We need to pray that we may never be ashamed or afraid to speak the word of God before the rest of the world. The service of sin is slavery. The service of God is liberty. We can choose who we will serve. In Sunday school right now, we're studying about being a servant to the Lord. And we are studying it because that's what we are all supposed to be. Now, we may not be as successful as some, but that's what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be the servants of God. Now, Israel, under Abraham, God chose them to be his people. And they were given a task, and that task was to share the word of God with the world. And Israel failed in its task. And for many centuries, Israel was without a land or a nation. They are back in their land, not completely, but they are back in the place that God told them that they could have as their country. We are headed in the same direction for the very same reason. we are not expounding the Word of God like we should. We're not doing what we should. Remember, the service of sin is slavery. The service of God is liberty. Now, there is no perfect liberty right now, but in keeping with God's law, we have liberty. We must never be ashamed or afraid to share the Word of God with our neighbor, the stranger on the street, or anyone else. That is the job that God has given us. We are to share His Word with the people that He brings into our lives. Now, we're considering religious liberty this morning, and religious liberty is different from spiritual liberty because spiritual liberty involves what we believe from the Word of God. Religious liberty is how we react to what we believe. I want you to understand this difference. Spiritual liberty is how we react to what we know and believe from the Word of God. Religious liberty is how we perform those truths, how we live them. That's religious liberty. And religious liberty is not something that we have a right to. We believe we do. But there are those who believe we do not have that right, and they are doing everything they can today to prevent us from doing those things. That's why the Bible was taken out of school. That's why prayer was taken out of school. That's why there are many different things that have been codified or made law that are in opposition to God's word. God said, marriage is between one man and one woman, nothing else. And today you see what we have. We had a series in Sunday school about that. God's still in control. People, God can take care of us. God can help us to experience religious liberty. Our spiritual liberty is within us. Our religious liberty is what we are permitted to do from outside. Now, we're thinking about religious liberty. And because spiritual liberty is within us, it cannot be taken from us without taking our life. And if you take our lives, what happens? We go home to be with God. We go home to be with our Savior. We have nothing to fear. We know that. Religious liberty, we might be able to be stopped from experiencing it, but let's look at this. A minute ago, I read from the 119th Psalm. I made a statement regarding the idea that all the verses communicated, and I want to reiterate a part of that statement again, because it's the foundation for what we are looking at right now. We need to pray that we may never be afraid or ashamed to own God's truths and ways before men. There are those who are afraid to witness because they feel like they do not have enough knowledge to tell others what they believe. If you don't have enough knowledge to tell others what you believe, you have a problem. You have a big heart problem. And I'm saying that because we should never be ashamed of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We should never be ashamed of what God has told us, of how God has told us to live. We should live that way in spite of everything that goes on around us. The Apostle Paul saw that when he was writing his gospel, or writing his epistles to the other churches. Paul went to jail for what he believed. Paul went to jail for what he preached. Paul was even stoned to death for what he was preaching. And yet God gave him additional life. And Paul never stopped preaching the word. In Galatians, in chapter 1 of Galatians, verses 8 and 9, he chides the Galatians because they were responding to another gospel, which was not a gospel at all. We have the truth. It's in this book, all of it. There is no falsehood in this book at all. If you want the truth, turn to the Bible and live what the Bible says. That is the truth. And as others see that in you, hopefully they will desire to have what you have, liberty. Liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Liberty under God. There is no full happiness or perfect liberty but in keeping God's law. The service of sin is slavery. The service of God is liberty. Now, how does anyone keep that which they don't know about? Because they have not bothered to learn or read the Word of God. If they'd read it and make an effort to learn it, they will practice it. They will experience true liberty. Those who have not read this book are still in sin. They're still bound by sin because they have not learned what God expects of them. Things are in a mess today because definitions are being changed. And we have to be careful. We need to watch carefully that we do not let the world around us change the definitions that God has given in His Word. Definitions are being changed and liberty is being lost. The same difference exists between religious liberty and religious freedom as they exist. Religious liberty requires us to do what God's Word tells us. Religious freedom, on the other hand, tells us that we can do whatever we want to do, even if it disobeys what God has said, as long as it appears religious. What do I mean by that? There are churches meeting all over this area this morning. Some of them are preaching this book, the Word of God. Some of them are teaching that you need to feed the birds and be good to stray animals and stray people. It's called a social gospel. It is not God's word. It is not God's program. He does not expect us to be involved in that. God wants us, if we're going to meet here this morning, to read His Word. He's wanting us to study His Word, to understand the various aspects of His Word personally for you. If you don't understand how to operate a gasoline tanker, why would you want to drive one? You know, they had that spill over in West Ashley, was it? 2,100 gallons of fuel because the operator of the truck did not know to check a certain device on the truck, and he lost 2,100 gallons of gasoline down the storm drains. You know, what would have happened if there'd been a spark? You'd have had a large part of West Ashley in ruins. A cup of gasoline vapors will destroy a 5-room home. Now, figure 2,100 gallons, what kind of damage that would do. For lack of knowledge. We need an understanding of God's word. We need to know what God is telling us we are to do, how we are to maintain our relationship with him. Today, too many churches are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ or the message of salvation. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is God's purpose for you. God wants you to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior so that you can be born again and given new life. And if there's anybody here this morning who doesn't know that, you can speak to almost anybody in this auditorium and they can share with you how you can come to that place. That's God's purpose for mankind. It is God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So too many churches are not preaching the gospel or the message of salvation. They're using their religious liberty to ignore the command of Jesus Christ when he gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28. He did that just before he departed this world. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You say, well, Pastor, you've read that several times since I've been in this church. Can we say the truth too much? Do we need reminding? Now, when you get to be Lacey in my age, sometimes you get into a room and wonder why you're there. What did I come here for? What was I supposed to get? We do the same thing with God. We forget his word. Our minds are not as, sharp as they used to be. And so we need reminding. And one of the things we need reminding about is why we are here. What did Jesus tell his disciples before he left this earth? He said, you go out and you teach the whole world what I have taught you. Now that was 11 men. And we're still teaching what they taught 2,000 years ago. And it's not old, folks. It's not old. Never will get old. So religious liberty is practicing the Great Commission by proclaiming the truth, all of it, of God's word. I read a note from Marnie Krause. She is in Cambodia. The Lord called her there. The Lord has called you to North Charleston right now. Do what he wants you to do here, where he's got you. You know, we learned in Sunday school from a film that was put out by the American Family Association, In His Image. And there are certain people who are not saved and cannot be saved as long as they continue to live the lifestyles that they live. If you know a person who is living a lifestyle that God does not approve of, share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's able to fix things. It's able to fix them. It fixed you. It fixed you. We've got young people all over this area living together out of wedlock. And what does God say? He says that there will be no fornicators or adulterers in heaven. And as long as they practice that, they cannot be saved. To get saved, they're going to have to give that up. They're going to have to surrender that to God. They're going to have to let the Holy Spirit fix them. There's no such thing as partial or progressive salvation. All the people you know, loved ones, friends, neighbors, people you work with, people you do business with, they are either saved or they are lost. One or the other. They're not getting saved, they're lost. And you have the opportunity to obey Jesus Christ and share with them what he has taught you. That's why he's taught it. The new birth takes place instantly. And when a person believes what the Word of God proclaims, God helps them to live according to his Word. A lot of people think, well, I'll learn a little bit now and I'll keep going to church and my church attendance and the good things that I do will help me get saved or help me, you know, get a hold of this thing called salvation. God has given us an example of what salvation is. It is a day, a time, an instant when a person believes, when you believe. Romans 10, verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the grave, thou shalt be saved. Now, that takes place in an instant of time. Can you imagine somebody being given a birth certificate from the hospital that says, born April 21st through May 7th? No. When you're born, you're born. That's it. When you're born again, you're born again. And that's it. You don't work into it. And you don't do it. God does it through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's here this morning. He's working in our hearts. He's trying to bring us to a point where we accept this as truth and fully believe it. And that's what he wants for everyone in this room this morning, is that you might believe what this book says. Now, there are those in positions of authority who are trying to prevent portions of God's word from being proclaimed. And as a part of that effort, they are calling portions of the Word of God hate speech. Folks, it's not hate speech, it's love speech. We're trying to share with them the Word of God when it says some things are wrong. They're not going to be right. They're not going to get right later on because more and more people are involved in them. No, there are things that are wrong. They're in violation of God's word. They are in violation of God's intention for all of us. And we have to understand that as long as people are involved in those things, they are not and cannot be saved. They have to come to a point where you are willing to accept God's will, God's truth, the Holy Spirit into your life. And let him do the work that God needs to do. I can't save anybody. There's nothing I can say that will convince a person to be saved. It's going to require the Holy Spirit working. So don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. You're not the one who has to do the work. You just share the words. You share the word of God with the people around you. And that is utilizing our religious liberty, which has been given us by God. Now, in many ways, our religious liberty has already been stolen from us as long as we are being restricted from teaching all of the truth of the Bible. And there has been laws implemented, passed, approved, that tell us that we cannot do this. Folks, those laws are false. Those laws are false. They are of the devil. And he is the father of them because they are lies. He is the father of lies, all lies. And so we have an obligation to our Lord and Savior and to our Heavenly Father to tell the truth. And the truth is that these things are wrong. They're perversions. The Supreme Court ruled in 1973 that the taking of human life was legal, as long as you give it a different name. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about abortion. If you call it a fetus, not a baby, then it's legal. But folks, from the moment of conception, that baby has a soul that God has given it. And when you abort a baby, that is the taking of an innocent human life. And just because the Supreme Court says that's okay now, that's not what this says. This says that's murder, and it is. And so here we are, expecting to live in a country where it's perfectly legal to murder babies. Are we expecting to live here without consequence? I don't think so. We've been studying on Wednesday night the minor prophets, and we found out one thing for sure. If we disobey God, he's eventually going to judge us. Now, you and I, our sins are under the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know him this morning. And so he's not going to judge us, but he's going to judge the rest of the people around us. And so we need to share with them this book. This is the answer to everything. This is our religious liberty to do what is here, at no matter what the cost. If we go to jail, Paul got beat up all the time. Now, I'm not advocating we all go out and get black eyes, getting in somebody's face, okay? But I am advocating telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our job. And so that's what we need to do. I've got several pages left. You tell me. I know you've been thinking about it. Are we living in the last days? What should our response be if we believe we're living in the last days? Paul gives us the answer in the very next chapter of Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the living, and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine is the teaching of this book. That's the job we all have to do this morning. That's the job God has called you to do. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. You're a representative. You're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let that ambassadorship go to waste. Do what he's told us to do. Father, we thank you that you do love us, you do provide for us, you do care for us, and that you have given us a job, Father. We thank you for that job. May we be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and for the purpose for which he has saved us. May your will be done in this world, in this nation, in this state. And Father, use us to accomplish that purpose and that will. And we will praise you for what you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.